Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
My personality was to blame.
What kind of call is that?
I was not afraid to say what was on my mind.
Boomer Esiason.
Boomer Esiason. He's a quarterback. He's been there. He's been in Super Bowls. He's been in Pro Bowls. He's brought a lot of confidence.
Host of Boomer and Geo. Mornings on WFAN.
I was, you know, I did my, did an interview in Chicago yesterday with the Score with
Danny Parkins.
And yeah, Matt Spiegel.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were asking about Matt Eberflus.
Why don't you just announce it on WFAN?
NFL All-Pro and four-time Pro Bowler.
The Cincinnati Bengals AFC champion.
1988 NFL MVP.
Esiason, the talk of Cincinnati.
Analyst for the NFL Today on CBS.
They have to find out whether or not this kid is the future at quarterback. This is a franchise where quarterbacks go to die. Do you remember the last time the Bears actually had a first-team All-Pro quarterback, Nate?
Jim McMahon?
Bobby Douglas. No. 1950, Johnny Lujack.
Tick, tick, tick.
Boomer Esiason with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Boomer with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. How you doing today, Boom?
Great. I knew you guys were going to play that Johnny Lujack quote and did that just for you guys, just so you know.
Well, listen, can we get a shout-out on TV one of these days, Boom?
Oh, my God.
What's going on here?
Yeah, so maybe. Shameless. He's so maybe. Shameless.
Yeah, you know, I just want to be a big star like you.
Oh, God, it's nauseating. Usually we get Sid Luckman, Boom. So thank you for going, Johnny Lujack. That's deeper. You know, it's a deeper cut.
But much deeper, but... And I'm sure Johnny got a lot of contact from that. I would imagine a lot of people reached out to him this week.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I would love to debate you on where quarterbacks come to die.
He's 97 years old in Connellsville, Pennsylvania, Johnny
Lujack. Oh, Johnny's still with us.
Yeah, how about it?
Right. Yes, he is. Yeah. Yes, of course.
All right. Good for Johnny.
Boomer knew. Boomer knew.
Of course.
It's a fact. It's 100% a fact. I mean, when you think about I'm not saying that there haven't been quarterbacks over the years that have actually played well. I mean, Jim McMahon comes to mind. You know, I'm sure there are a few others that I can think of. I remember Bobby Douglas when I was a kid. He was a left-hander running over people. I was like, I don't necessarily know that I could play that way, but I could appreciate it. Mark Mangus, I think, came from the University of Maryland. I remember that.
Look at
or
you.
Bob Avellini. Maybe it was Bob Avellini it was.
Yeah,
maybe.
Bob.
Right. And Jim Miller had a good year. Right, we took him to
Eric Kramer had a moment in the sun. The only thing about where quarterbacks come to die, and I'm not really disputing it, but like yeah. it'd be more horrifying because it's already plenty horrifying, right? Never having a quarterback who's thrown for 30 touchdown passes, never having one who's thrown for 4,000 yards. But it'd be worse if like Mitch was lighting it up in Pittsburgh, or if Rex Grossman had a great career somewhere else, you know. But we don't get any talent here, Boomer. So no. We just get bad quarterbacks in Chicago.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned Rex Grossman. I remember this when Dan Marino was working with us on the NFL Today. We asked him to list the top five quarterbacks in the NFL at that time, and update was like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre or somebody, and then he put Rex Grossman on there.
What?
What did you just do? Oh. I couldn't believe he. So we made him make a list. Yeah, and Rex made the list. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. All I can tell you is that they have their hands full with Justin. I watch him. He reminds me of my rookie year. And my rookie year was not pretty. And it was like I was thinking way too much. I didn't know what I was doing. I really lost a lot of confidence in who I was when I was playing. Now, Justin's a year into this, so he should be a little bit further ahead than I was. my rookie year. He looked better last year. You know, with Matt Nagy, you know, designing the plays and calling the plays, he looks like he is really struggling with this offense. And I see a guy out there that, you know, after the first interception, it was like his head was dangling, like just kind of, you know, drooping it on the sideline. And everybody's trying to help him up and everybody's trying to pick him up when he's got to be the guy that's picking everybody else up. He's got to be immune to the mistakes. And right now, whatever mistakes he may be making in the huddle, or maybe a wrong call at the line of scrimmage or something like that is impacting the way he's playing. And he's not playing free and easy. And you can see it, and it really does. I mean, for a guy who played the position, it's really, really hard to watch. And he can't get off of one receiver to the next. He's, you know, like the one interception he threw down the middle, is like when he let it go, I'm like, no! And you could see that they were baiting him into throwing the ball down the middle of the field. And he took the bait, and, you know, it's like it's starting all over again for him.
Yeah, we've been talking about it as a second rookie year, and it's certainly a new time in this system. But, boy, some interesting stuff in what you said right there, Boomer, about hanging his head and about how he's got to be the one to get himself out. He spoke today to the media. We played about a two-minute chunk of it last hour. As down as we've ever heard him. You know, a little bit mumbly at times, short answers, like maybe he came out of a film session, who knows? And it's understandable to be down like that, but what is the effect of showing that to the media, to the world, that you are that far down? Is there any effect in that?
Well, he's shown it to his team. You know, it really doesn't matter what he's shown to the media, but if his team sees it, the team feels it, the team reacts to it, you know? That guy behind center, whether we like it or not, it's the position we chose to play, and it's the position that when you play it really well, you're the highest paid player, and there are a lot of responsibilities that come along with that, and one of them is to be the unquestioned leader in that locker room, no matter what the situation may be. And I know he feels horrible about the way he played on Sunday. I'm sure he didn't get any sleep. I'm sure he watched it. I'm sure he's aware of what's being said about him on Twitter. I'm sure he's aware of you know, all the radio call-in shows, everything. He's aware of it all. And he's aware of the national media probably coming down on him. So there's a lot of pressure on this young man. And this is what Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsky have got to find out, whether or not he can be the guy that can lead this team. And if you're carrying yourself that way, it basically tells you that you got to start looking for another guy eventually. And they'll get to that point somewhere along the line. Again, I still don't really know if we know all these teams right now until we get to about week 6 or 7, especially the teams with the new coaches that have to learn their players. And like you guys told me that Matt Eberflus is in these meetings. And I think he's trying to see where his quarterback is mentally and how he's carrying himself. You know, we have to be the biggest a-hole in the locker room. That's all there is to it. We just have to be. We have to be that A-type personality, and we got to fight back when we're down. We got to fight those urges to hang our heads, and it's a hard thing to learn for these young men, especially when they aren't used to the failure that he's feeling right now.
Boomer Esiason with us, Parkins and Spiegel on the score. I think why Chicago got so angry or down or out on Fields was because it was like, okay, first game was Monsoon, second game was at Lambeau, this is Texans at home. Bears are favored. Texans are bad.
And they ran for 280 yards, Danny.
And lost. Yeah. But, like, the Giants don't seem all that special with talent. But are the Giants good enough to make Fields miserable? Because if the Texans could do it, anybody could do it.
Well, you know, what did I tell you guys last week? I was like, all right, and I know this question's been asked to Coach Eberflus. You know, is it about developing the second-year quarterback or is it about winning games? And, you know, it's a fine line and it's a balance, and you got to straddle the fence, if you will, because he wants the team to play hard and win games because he's only going to be judged on winning games. But the second part of that is that if you really want to be a long-term success, that means that second-year quarterback that you didn't draft, by the way, you know, has to be the leader of your team. And I bet you they're finding out things about Justin now that they probably didn't know about, or maybe were told when they took the job that there's a potential for this kid to hang his head and not be the leader that you want him to be. So I think there's a fine balance right now with everything going on in Chicago. They should be able to, you know, at least play with the Giants. Neither team scores a lot of points, so I would imagine it's going to be a low-scoring game. You know, Daniel Jones is having his problems here, and he's in his fourth year, and he locks on to receivers, and he hangs his head, and he – basically makes mistakes that, like, sometimes are so befuddling that you can't believe that he's actually been in the league for 4 years. So I think there are two teams that are probably equal in talent in most areas. And it's going to come down to the quarterback who makes the most mistakes that are going to lose this game.
Hey, Boomer, that topic of winning versus quarterback development has been very heated all week here. And anybody associated with the team and others have said that it's about the win, that you have to make it about the win, or you sometimes can lose players on a team. Is there a way to balance that, though, in terms of play calling? Is there a way to still make it about the win, but also give the kid a few more opportunities to show and learn?
I think they would have to get into a shootout where he is, where he's playing well and he's completing a lot of passes. And, you know, That'd where nice. He is really starting to feel like, you know, that he's the guy, that he can make the play. And I just, I don't know if he's capable of doing that right now. I mean, especially, you know, he's not out there with the wide receiving core of the Dolphins or the Bengals or the Raiders or the Eagles, for that matter. You know, the top end groups of skilled players around their quarterback who have been in the same system for 3 or 4 years. That's just not who they are right now. And he's suffering from that as well. But the thing that I get concerned about is just his confidence in his own ability. I mean, it's there. I know he's a great athlete. I know he's a competitor. I can see him competing. But somehow they got to unlock the positive side of who he is and not allow him to be this dour down kind of personality when he has to be the leader.
We have day games the next 2 days, so limited shows to get ready for this game. How do you beat the Giants? Give us the scouting report on who we're seeing Sunday.
Well, you're not going to be seeing a great team. I know one thing, Wink Martindale is going to blitz the hell out of Justin Fields. Any passing situation, they better be ready for 7 guys in the blitz or some sort of fire zone so they can confuse him. You can run the ball on the Giants, but, you know, the Giants don't have a great pass rush. You know, they're just going to rush 4, and you saw that when they played the Cowboys. You know, Cooper Rush just sat back there and was able to survey the field, and there are openings. So that, you know, they'll be able to run the ball on them. But if, you know, if Justin comes in here and throws 2 or 3 interceptions, you know, then it doesn't matter what they're really going to do. Then that's probably going to give the Giants a chance to score like 24 points. But, you know, getting to 20 in this game is going to be very difficult for both of these teams just simply because they don't have the playmakers, but they have the playmaking quarterback.
Are they making any adjustments on that offensive line? The rookie right tackle got destroyed by DeMarcus Lawrence. Overall, it was a crazy amount of pressures. We're wondering whether the Bears can count on some of the same.
Yeah, you know, Evan Neal's going to be a really good player. You know, he just had a really bad day against a, you know, a top-end speed rusher, and the Giants were so concerned with Micah Parsons and wherever he was. You know, they were able to get DeMarcus Lawrence freed up on Evan. So he's a good player. He's going to be a fine player. They have 2 good offensive tackles. The interior part of their line is not bad. Saquon Barkley looks great. He looks like he has been shot out of a cannon. So he would be the number one person to worry about. The wide receiver, Sterling Shepard, was their best wide receiver. He's out for the year now with a blown out knee. And Kadarius Toney has not really gotten on the field and missed last week's game with an injury and a hamstring. So I don't suspect that he's going to play either. So this is not going to be like a running gun up and down the field type of thing. Stop Saquon Barkley and you can beat the Giants.
What the hell happened to Kenny Galladay?
I don't know. It's another thing. It's a weird deal. You know, he's guaranteed $40 million by Dave Gettleman, the previous general manager. They can't cut him because if they do, they'll take way too big of a cap hit right now. He's not going to be on the team next year. I don't think that Daniel Jones will be here next year either. And it's, you know, we were talking about this on WFAN this morning. My partner, Greg Giannotti, brought it up. He goes, if I were the Giants, I'd be trying to trade Saquon Barkley. And it makes a ton of sense because they're not likely to give him a big contract next year. They'll lose him. They'll get a compensatory pick of some sort in return for him if they don't trade him. But if they trade him, maybe there's a team out there that would be willing to give up a second-round draft choice, which would be higher than any compensatory pick that they would get if they lost him via free agency. So, you know, there's a lot for the Giants to think about, and they're going through exactly what the Bears are going through right now. They're trying to turn over the roster. They're trying to figure out their long-term salary cap situation, and they're trying to find out whether or not they have a quarterback that can lead them out of the abyss that they've been in the last 5 years. And my answer to that right now is absolutely they don't have the guy right now to do that.
Well, most people don't. You know, it's like most teams
That's
don't.
Right.
It's a very difficult league to play quarterback in. The Dolphins loaded up and gave Tua Tagovailoa a whole bunch of stuff, and it's working so far. Have you ever seen a back injury that looks like a concussion as much as that one looked like a concussion? And are the Dolphins going to get away with this complete flaunting of the man's well-being at this point?
Yeah, you know, I know there's an investigation. I mean, all you have to do is ask the patient. I mean, he's the player. Is the player telling the truth or is he lying? I mean, is he lying about his own health? Now, I know we are our own worst enemies, and that's why they do have the concussion protocols in place, unlike when I played. So they have all of that stuff, and they went through all of those protocols. And if the player agrees with the team that was more back than it was his head, then I don't know. I don't know what is the investigation. I don't know what the problem is. I mean, the kid came out and played. Didn't play much after that. I mean, didn't throw many balls. They seemed to really protect him because I guess his back was bothering him. I think he's supposed to play tomorrow night.
Uh-huh.
So if he's supposed to play tomorrow night, then what do we need an investigation for? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I don't either. It just
it's protecting these guys from themselves because they'll lie.
Yeah, I think they certainly will lie. Did you have to lie back then, or was it just, no, I'll go out there. I'm fine.
Yeah, you know what? I know for a fact that there are about three or four times where I did actually have a concussion and ended up remaining in the game. I do know that for a fact. There was no concussion protocol. And when I think back to it, in 1995, when I was with the Jets, my last year with the Jets, I do believe that I was the first player in NFL history to actually go into concussion protocol that was put together by the Jets, you know, lead doctor. And I remember missing four games and having to go through testing until I could get back on the practice field.
Damn.
Wow.
What was it like?
Yeah, but prior to that, it was weird. It was really strange. It was like in its infant stages of understanding, you know, what concussions were and what they did to you and how they would affect you and how long they could last. Now, when I was with the Bengals, there's like three or four times that I can remember getting really hit hard and, you know, being helped off the field, sat on the sideline, take a little smelling salts, stand there, you know, count backwards from 100 and then go right back out on the field on the next series. So that kind of changed in the mid-90s and now in 2022. Believe you me, there's nobody wins if the player goes back on the field and he has a concussion. The last thing that any team wants to do is violate that protocol, because if they do, they will get fined significantly. And then, of course, they lose the trust of the player, and then it's a whole locker room issue. That's the last thing that the Miami Dolphins want in this situation.
I remember the discourse in the media at the time in the 90s and the early aughts was some people taking concussions seriously and others just making jokes. Oh, he got his bell rung. Oh, come on. You know, like, and the perception of concussion protocol was go in a dark room and eat porridge. You know, like, what did they do to you? Were you in a dark room? Boom.
I was in a dark room, and I was looking at screens, like TV screens, and they had all sorts of probes on my head and around my eyes, and they were taking readings. That, you know, like I said, it was in its infant stages at that point in time. They have so much, we have so much more data to look back on over the last 10 years alone to give us a better understanding about these players. That's why they wear those things over their helmets now, the pads over their helmets when they're practicing, is to try to limit the amount of brain injuries that there are. But it's a game that's going to have brain injuries. We all know it. We see former players really suffering from it, and just only hope that, you know, they're smarter nowadays than ever before. And that's why I don't think the Dolphins would ever do anything. And I'm not stupid. I wasn't born yesterday. I was born in New York, as a matter of fact. So I do have a sense about me that I think in this case, the Dolphins would be idiotic to put a kid back out there that failed a concussion protocol test if, in fact, he was given one.
Last thing, Boomer, and this question is sponsored by wanting to know if I should bet Steelers -3. Is Zach Wilson a upgrade or downgrade from Joe Flacco?
You know, I would say an upgrade because he can move around and he can run and run away from pass rushers. And this week he's going to have to run away from pass rushers if he plays, because they have two offensive tackles. One wasn't even on the roster when the season started. So they've lost three offensive tackles already. And even though TJ Watt's not on the field for the Steelers, you're still playing against a very complicated 34 configuration, which will confuse the offensive line, which will make Zach want to run with the ball. Boomer. So I would say it's better overall.
Okay. Better overall. Yeah. I'm going to stay away. I'm going to stay away then.
Right. Stay away from that game.
All right. Thanks, Boom. We'll talk next week.
Okay, guys. Take it easy.
Thank you. It's Boomer Esiason in the NFL Today and WFAN.
I wonder if he's used the ampersand function on his phone as he searched breathlessly for your podcast
so he can listen
and review.
He doesn't need to. They put his podcast on the front page everywhere.
Yeah, right. Oh, his podcast is getting promoted? That must be cool. First and Pod, 1SD ampersand pod, wherever you find your podcasts. Doing two NFL shows a week, staying up late Thursdays and Sunday nights. It's a good show. If you can find it, I think you'll enjoy it.
There's 8 more days of Beat the Streak daily.
Are you throwing a party? Am I invited to the party?
No. No chance you're invited to the party.
Okay, but there is a party for the end.
It's possible. It's possible me and Porth will be celebrating. You know, popping that champagne when our friend Kiyoshi Lotus 26 wins the top streak prize of $10,000.
That's exciting. There's
only two people left. Chase.
What was your highest streak in doing the podcast? Not hits by players.
I understand.
Doing the podcast.
Here is... What are you talking about?
Like, how many podcasts in a row did you do?
A ton. I don't know, 40?
I'm not questioning you. I'm just seeing if that streak would surpass 56 hits.
Yes. Yes, it would. Like, I think Ryan has done solo. Ryan Porth, the Porthinator.
Power,
I want to say five times, maybe six, which was always the design of the thing, was that the producer would eventually be able to step up and do some solo.
But there should be a streak built in for you. You should get a monetary prize for doing that many daily baseball podcasts in a row.
Thank you for your concern. Here's a fun fact. There's only 8 days left in the season. If me and Ryan started a new streak now, which we have to because we're both at 0, we could both still reach our season high before the end of
16?
The year. Yeah, I'm at 9. My season high is 9. It's hard.
What was his?
14, I think. He got 14 at one point.
You guys are the experts, huh?
Yeah.
We are invaluable.
Brought to you by the Beat the Streak podcast. Get an inside edge is what they give you.
You bet.
On how to win the $5.6 million prize every day this baseball season. Listen on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcast. Trey Wingo coming up at 3:45. But coming up next, we debut the newest song of the Bears season. And I think you guys are likely to like this one because it's the first one that I'm not on. I haven't heard it, so I'll be listening like all of you. Shane makes his singing debut. It's next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Parkins and Spiegel Show Flashback.
This works, baby. Bears are fine.
Solid snort.
Al Michaels, not that impressed with our effort from 2 weeks ago. But I wonder how he felt about those Riccobenny sandwiches that I bought for lunch last week. That's the best song of the year so far.
I have a question about the Riccobenny sandwiches real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. I'm very appreciative of the Riccobenny sandwich. I've been ordering that, or we've been eating that sandwich since I was 2-3 years old, right? My dad would bring it home all the time. Usually on that sandwich, you order it just the breaded steak
breaded
sandwich.
Steak, great for teething, by the way.
Yeah, really. Oh, is it?
If you said you were 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah, and whatever. And like, you it's took been down, in the family.
Yeah, you took down the whole thing at age two.
I loved it. Yeah, and I still love it now. But when you order the breaded steak sandwich, doesn't it come with cheese, peppers, and red sauce? Did you purposely order mine and Danny's plain?
No.
Okay. I've been sitting on that for about a week now.
I didn't know if there were options to press.
Okay.
And you guys didn't specify anything.
No, we didn't. It's not an attack on you.
It feels like an attack.
It's just a question about how you ordered the sandwich. Just because I was hoping to tie it back to the pizza with onions.
I get
onions.
It. Yeah, because one time I told you guys that you needed onions on your pizza, yeah. And I prescribed those as Dr. Pizza. And that didn't go over well.
Malpractice.
Yeah, malpractice from Dr. Pizza.
It's a good sandwich.
Yeah.
It is a great sandwich.
Thanks again for that, Danny, by the way.
Yeah. I almost had to buy lunch today. I was almost late to that meeting. Sprinted in there.
You were.
I know, 101. Crushed me.
So you performative did. The way you ran in. So not necessary,
such
man.
A fake tough guy, like fake hard trying guy.
Fake tough
like,
guy.
Fake out of breath coming in.
I'm the least tough person in the world.
God. I hate being tardy. Sorry, guys.
God,
this is like 101.
These vibes around here, man.
Yeah, no.
Softball left a mark.
They're not fans of us.
When he didn't text me at 8:53 last night, I was like, oh, I thought we were going to bury the hatchet at 8:53, the 24-hour rule, and he didn't text me.
I was waiting for you to reach out to me. Anyway,
I told Christine about all the softball vibes and everything that happened. She said, you guys are all a bunch of effing children. I said, guilty. Yes, yeah. We are.
Yep.
Yes, we are.
It's the medium.
Yep. That's
and
true.
So when I got here, because I was feeling badly that I wasn't going to make it to the song.
Yeah.
That was really the issue because I knew worked hard on the song and I was going to be able to record. And I did feel badly about that. And so I didn't know, which is totally fine, that Shane was replacing me. I got Wally pipped.
Yeah, we had a big plan. Actually, we didn't really have a big plan. But Shane and I were talking about what we're going to do in your absence. I could have just done it all myself, but we got a little Shane in there.
This is great.
So maybe not enough Shane, but, you know, there'll be more.
So what's the concept? Introduce. I have not heard it yet.
It's more Tom Petty. Went back to the Tom Petty well.
Oh, it's a good well.
As suggested by W. Wilson from Twitch. So you guys make a good suggestion. It might end up being a song on a Wednesday. And the Bears refuse to throw the ball.
So what's the...
Well, we won't throw now. No, we won't throw now. Could be 3rd and 6 wide receivers flanked out, but we won't throw now. Getsy's new in town, won't be pushed around. Yeah, I'll keep Justin Fields from going downtown. Getsy stands his ground. Justin won't throw now. He won't throw now. Maybe he'll figure it out. He won't throw any patience. But we won't throw now. It's a scared Bears town. Not one great QB. Never do we see. In a league with so many passing TDs, still the Bears get clowned, and we won't throw now. He won't throw now.
Be patient.
He's gonna figure it out.
He won't throw now.
Need patience.
but we won't throw now.
He won't throw now.
Please be patient.
Justin will figure it out.
He won't throw now.
We need patience.
But we must throw now.
Yeah, we must throw now. Please, good Lord, please throw now.
Okay.
Enough already.
Tiny with the editorial thought.
I have some thoughts.
Of course you do. You're not on it.
It was great, but Shane's role was
tiny.
Two words.
I said he'd need two more,
words
need
with
more
production
Shane
behind it and a Speaks echo.
Yes.
I can do be patient.
Oh, like, no, you can't.
I mean, with the music and the editing, I could do it.
No, he
maxed out at five words and he was speaking them at the end.
Yeah.
You put him in a very good position to succeed. I'm asked to do things at a vocal level that are very difficult. Hey, sing the 6-line chorus as a pop star. I feel like I am set up to fail. Shane was great. The song was great. You're a professional singer. Of course that was better than me not being on it, because Shane was barely on it. You were a professional musician. That was great.
But Shane nailed his stuff. He's got a lot of range, a lot of possibilities over there.
All right, but here's the thing. You kind of set me up for failure in my first song, because that is a very high note to hit with absolutely no vocal warming up whatsoever. I've had a sore throat for a month and a half, and this is not the acoustic environment to be expecting that performance from me.
You nailed it. You're money. It should have been a lot more. See, the question is whether that model of Parkinslessness is a feasible model for song production. Does it just sit there like a boring animal?
Yes.
See? That's what I'm saying, Tanny. Does it need, as a texter says, the sounds of Parkins, the dying lemur?
Yeah, it does.
Does it need that to be massively effective?
But I think
it might.
Now that I'm on a song, I totally understand your frustration with Tanny when he throws those little shots at how bad it is. Now it's like one of my artistic projects, too.
You put yourself out there.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You want to be supported.
This guy just thinks he can sit in a little office back there listening to Matt Eberflus and not be on the song and say
right.
whatever the hell he wants.
Whatever the hell
he wants.
Wait till Dan Bernstein gives us his unfortunately honest response.
Screw that little guy.
Here's my 30,000-foot view of this situation here. Clearly, Speak saw an opening with Danny not being a part of the song here.
Yeah.
And it was like 99.9% Speaks on this song.
Right? Yeah.
And
he
then
knew
Shane,
I wasn't going to fight back.
Yeah, he knew he'd give you a minimal role in the song, which you did fine.
Oh, God.
Like, there was too much of you at the end. Like, you just do more Tom Petty. Like, try to be Tom Petty instead of, like, you know, editorializing with
the lyrics.
But
you want to be performative, too. Speaks was like, just not enough Shane.
There isn't.
You wrote the song.
I know.
So, you could have wrote it.
But hey.
You chose the amount of Shane.
I know, but our communication, the first time Shane and I collaborated, I was texting last night. I sent him a copy of the lyric. Said, give me some thoughts. What am I going to do? And I recorded some at home and some here. In the future, if I collaborate more with Shane, there'll be a lot more Shane. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'm saying, like, it's got to be, like, Shane will get, hopefully he doesn't get more reps at this and get to experience. He doesn't need the Justin Fields experience here in terms of the trust and not being better and making us sit through a bunch of bad performances. But, you know, these songs only work if they're funny, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so Danny brings
the funny.
Whatever you want to call the thing that he brings.
I thought some of the lyrics brought the funny, but not enough. We needed more funny in the lyrics.
But just sonically, it's got to be a little bit repulsive because of how bad Danny is. Like, because that makes you look better, and it's like the yin and the yang right there. So it was too good. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be bad.
It's mediocre. I can accept that. Sort of good. You can see good from there. You know what I mean? But without the funny, I agree. This is why the formula is what the formula is. We learn things. You're getting a lot of love on the text line. Though,
am I? I haven't opened it up yet.
Yeah. Hey, you were great.
Here's one.
You said two words.
Finally, a song that doesn't make me wish I was born without ears. That's, I guess, about you, Danny. Wow, Parkins is gone. Shane was very good. Do not let Parky near the song studio again. Yeah. Yes, it was originally.
We're the game of game today.
Trey Wingo helps us turn the page to week four in the NFL. We will play the song again for at the end of the Bears report at 5 o'clock.
You're legitimately upset.
I could sound good with two words.
That's why I wrote it this way. I was thinking it was going to be you.
I could sound good if it was two words.
You would have nailed it.
It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We have a special message now from some people working very hard. Nope, no special message. Okay, we'll get to that a little bit later.
Trey Wingo.
The Eagles look really good. They're 2-0, and their 2-0 looks much different than Tom Brady's 2-0. They are constipated offensively right now.
NFL analyst at Pro Football Network.
The Bears' offense is a problem.
Thanks for reminding us, Trey.
You asked.
Chief Trends Officer for Caesars Sportsbook.
Chief Trends Officer and Brand Ambassador. I tried to go for Grand Master of Time, Space, and Dimension, but they nixed that.
Congratulations on all of your success.
ESPN anchor for over 20 years.
And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Host of the Half Forgotten History podcast,
Calvin Johnson. Let's go to week one, the 2010 season in Chicago. You catch the pass in the end zone to everybody in the world. It appears that that is a game-winning touchdown with 30 plus seconds left in the game. And then you hear Gene Steratore's call.
Was it really, was it Gene that made that call?
Yeah, it was Gene Steratore.
Why the heck is he on TV making these calls nowadays? Everybody in this, even everybody in the Chicago stadium knew it was a touchdown because you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
Trey Wingo with Parkinson Spiegel.
Take the L, haters.
On 670 The Score.
Trey, kind enough to join us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. How you doing, Trey?
Well, I feel like we're bonding over Jake Plummer. You guys had Jake on yesterday, right?
Yeah, he was great.
He's amazing.
he's a vibe.
Super interesting brain. Yeah, we asked him like what he would have done with all this knowledge when he was playing football. He said he would have quit earlier.
Yeah.
So he can do this instead. Man, that Calvin Johnson story on your latest pod there. I remember working here that week and talking about it. Like, that's one of those catches you remember forever because it defined the rule. Calvin Johnson, Bert Emanuel for Tampa Bay in the playoffs,
absolutely.
Right? Those are the ones that stick forever.
Yeah, the Bert Emanuel thing, which by the way, would now have been a catch, you know, with the way it is, because the ground, yet the point of the ball touched the ground, but it didn't cause it to move. And now if that happens, that would have been a catch. And everyone knows that freaking Megatron was just placing his hand on the ball to get up off the ground. He had made the catch, and once he pushed off, he just left it there. That was the one where if 800 people in a bar can say that's a catch and we as the NFL try to mess it up, then we got a problem. And we're still trying to figure this out, although I think it's a lot better now than it has been.
Yeah, they finally did get pretty damn close to doing a good job with that one. You know, kind of a drastic turn here, but I was looking over your bio to confirm my suspicions of what you did before ESPN. You did what a lot of TV people did. You bounced around and did local news.
Right.
Everyone today in this country is watching storm porn, right? They're watching hurricane coverage. What do news directors know that it's dumb to send people out, or are they in on the bit and they say, hey man, we're just in this for the ratings?
No, they are in on the bit, bro. Like, they know when I was in St. Louis, we had the flood of the century hit And then 2 years later, it hit again. So maybe it wasn't the flood of the century. But I mean, literally, that's all we did. You know, they even had the sports reporters out there covering, you know, this levee being broken and the Missouri flooding here. And, you know, I'm standing up to my knees in water. And isn't this amazing? They are all in the bit because they know it sells. That's why when you see on local news guys, like every 10 minutes, let's get a weather update. Let's get a weather update. Let's get a weather update. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it really is a pet peeve of mine that the local news will do weather when it's 65 and sunny with a breeze. Today,
correct.
It actually meets the definition of news.
Exactly right. Some days it's just tell me whether I need a jacket.
Right. Give me my iPhone weather app up on the screen.
So this week's game of the year, to go off the storm of the century, and then 2 years later. But this week's game of the year involves the Bills again after Bills-Miami. Bills Ravens, has Lamar Jackson perfected what it is to be a running quarterback to do everything that he's doing so far? It's remarkable.
Well, I think he has more touchdowns than 30 NFL teams do this year. And the Bears, as you guys painfully know, would be one of them. Timing is critical. I mean, he's in a walk year, and his contract and his price goes up every week. You know, he has 10 touchdown passes to lead the league. Josh Allen is second with 9. It's only the fifth time that we've had those two, that many touchdown passes in a week 4 game. By the way, the Caesars Sportsbook Tour will be in Baltimore this week for that game, and I'll be there. Yeah, but Lamar Jackson is basically, you know, that low ball offer they tried to get him to sign, it was like $112 million guaranteed, and Deshaun Watson got $108 million more. Like, that you're going to have to hit that number. Like, some point, the Ravens are going to realize you're either going to hit that number or he's not playing for you. And that's where we are.
Trey Wingo with us on behalf of Caesars. This is a game where the Giants should be much better than the Bears, but I'm not sure in terms of talent if they are. What do you think about this matchup?
If this game doesn't set a record for the fewest pass attempts in the history of the NFL, everybody has screwed it up horribly. I mean, just look at the numbers, right? The Bears have the second best rushing attack, and the Giants have the 25th best rushing defense. The Giants have the fourth best rushing attack, and the Bears have the 30th best rushing defense. And you don't even want to know how many categories Justin Fields is last in the NFL in. Okay, fine, I'll tell you anyway. Yeah. Attempts, completion, passer rating, interception rating, interception ratio, and completion percentage. Like, it's horrendous. And Daniel Jones, for all he's supposed to be, was the one that made the huge mistake in the Monday night game against the Cowboys. Not Cooper Rush, who's only making his third NFL start. Why are you throwing to where Trayvon Diggs is in that situation in any way, shape, or form, especially when he's on your fourth receiver? You should be thrilled that the best quarterback is on your fourth receiver. Go find somebody else. So the other thing about this, which I think is interesting, guys, is this: who won the 2021 draft trade between the Bears and the Giants? Because the Bears move up to take Justin Fields 11th overall, and obviously he's had some issues. And the Giants move back and took Kadarius Toney, who, wait for it, on the year has 2 catches for 0 yards. So I'm not sure anybody can claim they won this trade yet.
Trade tomorrow night, the Thursday night game with the Dolphins undefeated at 3-0. Everybody's picking the Bengals. More and more money going on the Bengals. Are the Dolphins that much of a sham?
Well, two things. One, I think people think the Bengals are going to be closer to what they were last year as the season wears on. And number two, whenever they, you know, whenever the line shades one way or the other, that's because there's not enough people betting on the other team, right? So we all know how that works. But what's interesting to me, guys, for this one is the Dolphins defense was on the field for 90 plays on Sunday in that loss to the Bills. How the Bills lost with running 90 offensive plays and holding the ball for over 40 minutes is a mystery for the ages. It doesn't make any sense. But I'm curious to see what Miami has left in the tank. We've never had a team play 90 plays in a game and then have to play 4 days later. And that was in the scorching heat of Miami. The closest that anyone's come, a couple years ago in the COVID season, the Saints defense played 92 plays, and then on Christmas Day, they beat the Vikings. That was the day Alvin Kamara had 6 rushing touchdowns to tie a single-game record. But, literally, you want to talk about the problem for a short week, and your defense was out on the field for 90 plays in that heat? I'm curious to see what Miami has in the tank for Thursday night.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. And just dealing with the emotions of leaving Florida and family and everything that's going on there, it'd be tough
absolutely
to have a perfect week of prep. I guess the other game, Chiefs and Bucks. People will talk about, you know, Super Bowl and all of that stuff. They kept ramming it down our throats with Packers-Bucks as an NFC Championship game preview.
Yeah.
Where do you give the edge in that, you know, I hate the Week 4 Super Bowl preview stuff. But what do you think about that matchup?
Well, it's interesting, right? We still don't know where this game is going to be played. The NFL says at this point it still looks like they may play it in Tampa, but if not, they'll play it in in Minnesota, because the Vikings are in London to play the Saints. The Chiefs are a slight favorite in this one. Like, the Bucs offense is terrible. They're averaging 14 points a game. I mean, the offense is. They had the one pick six and the win over the Saints that got them the other touchdown, but they've only scored 42 points in three games. Interestingly enough, Tom Brady, as we all know, is a starting quarterback. His teams are 7-3 in the Super Bowl, but he's only 6-6 in regular season rematches against quarterbacks he's played in a Super Bowl. He's 5-0 against Atlanta and 1-6 in the regular season against every other quarterback he's met in a Super Bowl, which would be Patrick Mahomes. And for whatever reason, Andy Reid has this little quirky thing about him. He's 9-2 when facing the NFL's best scoring defense, which the Bucs are. They're only giving up 9 points per game. And in those 11 games, Reid's offense, which goes back to the Eagles days as well as the Chiefs, has averaged over 26 points per game against the number one scoring defense in the NFL. You know, the Chiefs gave away that game. I was there in Indianapolis Sunday. They basically said, please, Indianapolis, we're begging you. We don't want this game. Take it. And eventually the Colts did. So I'm curious to see what happens for the Chiefs in terms of the precision, because they were a sloppy mess in that Sunday loss to the Indianapolis Colts.
Good stuff as always. Trey Wingo with us on behalf of Caesars. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Baltimore. And we'll talk next week, Trey. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Thank you. That's Trey Wingo. Coming up next, he's worried about his house and his people down in Florida. Normally he joins us, of course, in studio on Thursdays. But
Wednesday Wani.
Coming up next, ahead of a Mark Rohde Bears report at 5 o'clock. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.